Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnarled Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Caesar's Palace Coup by Max Frooms and Saji Indap is a narrative non-fiction account of one of the most contentious private equity restructurings of the post-financial crisis era. The book follows the leveraged buyout of Harrah's Entertainment by Apollo Global Management and TPG Capital, the renaming of the company eroded Caesar's brand, and the years of financial, legal, and strategic conflict that ended in a major bankruptcy battle. Its purpose is not simply to recount a casino company collapse, but to explain how leverage, creditor rights, distressed investing, and private equity incentives interact when a heavily indebted business comes under stress. Written by financial journalists with close knowledge of corporate debt markets, the book combines deal history with courtroom and boardroom conflict. It is especially notable for making technical restructuring issues readable while preserving the complexity of the competing claims, personalities, and incentives that shape the Caesar's dispute. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Harrah's buyout shows how leverage can turn a strong business into a fragile one. At the center of the book is the 2008 leveraged buyout of Harrah's Entertainment by Apollo and TPG, a transaction completed just as credit markets and consumer demand were deteriorating. The deal illustrates the core logic of private equity buyouts: acquire a company with substantial borrowed money, improve operations or cash flow, and eventually exit at a profit. Caesar's was attractive because it owned famous casino assets, had a large customer database, and seemed to operate in an industry many investors considered comparatively resilient. The book shows why that confidence was dangerous. When a company carries a very large debt load, even modest shortfalls in earnings can become existential because interest costs consume cash that might otherwise fund operations, investment, or flexibility. Caesar's did not merely face a cyclical downturn, it faced a balance sheet designed for optimistic conditions. This makes the case a useful example of how financial engineering can change the risk profile of a business without changing the underlying casinos, hotels, or customers. Secondly, the casino empire tested the belief that gaming revenue was recession-resistant. A recurring lesson in the book is that the operating assumptions behind a buyout matter as much as the legal documents and financing terms before the crisis. Casino companies were often treated as businesses with durable customer demand, particularly when operators had strong loyalty programs and recognizable destinations. Caesar's, under Gary Loveman, had developed a data-driven approach to customer marketing that helped it identify valuable patrons and encourage repeat visits. That operating sophistication, however, did not eliminate exposure to a severe downturn. The financial crisis reduced discretionary spending, weakened travel demand, and strained regional casino markets. The book, therefore, challenges the idea that a sophisticated consumer analytics model can fully offset macroeconomic pressure when debt is excessive. And B, it also distinguishes between a good operating business and a good capital structure. Caesar's could possess valuable properties, recognizable brands, and skilled marketing while still being financially impaired. This distinction is central to understanding why the company became a battleground for creditors rather than simply a troubled casino operator. Distressed debt investors transformed bankruptcy into a strategic contest. The book gives particular attention to the rise of distressed debt investors in the Caesar's capital structure. As the company struggled, hedge funds and credit specialists bought claims at discounted prices and positioned themselves for a restructuring. Their role was not passive. Distressed investors study bond indentures, loan agreements, guarantees, collateral packages, and corporate transactions to determine where value can be recovered or challenged. In Caesar's, different creditor groups had different legal rights and economic incentives, which made the restructuring unusually contentious. Some investors hoped to profit by buying impaired debt and forcing a better recovery, while the private equity sponsors sought to protect their own position and preserve control over valuable assets. The book is useful because it explains that distressed investing is not only a bet on whether a business survives. It is also a bet on legal priority, negotiating leverage, documentation, and timing. Caesar's became a case study in how sophisticated financial actors fight over the distribution of losses when enterprise value is insufficient to satisfy all claims. Fourthly, the legal architecture of debt became as important as casino performance. One of the most distinctive features of the Caesar's story is the importance of legal structure. The dispute did not turn solely on whether casinos generated enough cash. It turned on which entities owned which assets, which creditors had guarantees, and whether transactions before bankruptcy unfairly shifted value away from certain lenders and bondholders. The book shows how corporate groups can be divided into subsidiaries with separate obligations, creating opportunities for sponsors and creditors to argue over asset transfers, releases, and recoveries. A creditor may appear to have exposure to a famous company, but its actual recovery depends on the exact borrower, collateral, guarantee, and covenant package. The Caesars litigation also demonstrates why bankruptcy courts can become arenas for reconstructing years of financial decisions. Legal details that may seem technical at issuance can later determine billions of dollars in bargaining power during restructuring. Lastly, the Caesars fight exposes the ethical tensions of sponsor-led restructuring beyond the mechanics of finance. The book raises questions about private equity incentives and the limits of aggressive restructuring. Apollo and TPG were not portrayed merely as owners trying to save a troubled company. They were central actors in a battle over how losses would be allocated among sponsors, creditors, and other stakeholders. The book highlights tactics that critics associate with sponsor-led restructuring, including efforts to preserve valuable assets, manage creditor claims, and use complex legal structures to improve negotiating position. The ethical issue is not that investors seek advantage, which is normal in financial markets. The deeper concern is whether private equity owners can use control rights and information advantages to shift value away from creditors after a company has been loaded with debt. This is why the Caesars case has broader relevance. It illustrates how financial sophistication can blur the line between legitimate liability management and conduct that appears to undermine the bargain creditors believe they had made. In conclusion, the Caesars Palace coup is best suited for readers who want a serious but readable account of private equity, leveraged finance, distressed debt, and bankruptcy litigation. Finance professionals, law students, investors, business journalists, and advanced business students will gain the most from its detailed treatment of debt structures and restructuring tactics. General readers can also benefit if they are willing to engage with financial complexity, because the book explains why a famous casino company became the center of a struggle among some of the most sophisticated firms on Wall Street. Its practical value lies in showing how leverage changes incentives, how creditor rights depend on documentation, and how asset transfers and guarantees can become decisive in a crisis. Intellectually, it helps readers see corporate distress as a contest among legal claims rather than a simple story of business decline. Compared with many books about private equity, it stands out because it focuses less on founder personalities or deal glamour and more on what happens after an ambitious buyout goes wrong. Compared with general financial crisis narratives, it offers a granular case study of one company, making abstract ideas such as LBO debt, distressed investing, and bankruptcy priority concrete and consequential. If you would like to support Max Frooms, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.